want us to look at a few simple thoughts tonight from Galatians chapter 6 and have a look at what it means to be a burden bearer. Galatians 6, and it says in verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day, for this time together, for this opportunity once again to come around your word, Father. I'm thankful for this church, Lord, for the members of it, for those who join us online, and for those who have become a part of our family during this time of pandemic, Lord. We're so thankful for the online ministry and for the people that we've met over these past few years, Lord, for those that have become a part of our church as a result of these difficulties that we've gone through. And Father, I just pray tonight as we come around your word, you would help us to understand what it is to face a burden, what it means to be a burden bearer, and how we can help one another, and how also we can help ourselves in this regard. So Father, would you speak to our hearts through your word tonight, we pray, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. There are many burdens that we as Christians face today, and over the past 2 years, I'm sure each and every one of us can say we've had our fair share of burdens, whether that's financial issues, whether that's family problems, whether that's health issues, whether that's fear, whether that's the burden of loneliness, the burden of loss, the burden of just being frustrated with what's happening in the world today. And there are many burdens that we face. We face physical burdens, and we've seen many people in this past few years suffer from a physical point of view. There are spiritual burdens. There are burdens that we face that affect us because maybe of a sin that has happened in our lives and the consequence of that particular sin. There are emotional burdens, and people have suffered emotionally over these past 2 years. The mental health problem that the NHS is going to be facing when this pandemic comes to an end is going to be astronomical, because the damage that's done to people's mental health, I think, is irreparable. There are people that will never recover from an emotional point of view, whether it's with anxiety or depression or whatever it may be, because of what's happened over these past few years. But the point is this: each and every one of us, either right now we're going through a burden, or we've suffered a burden, or we will be coming towards a burden, or we know somebody that's got a burden to bear. So none of us are untouched by the issue of burdens. And there was a Chinese woman who had lost a son, and she couldn't find any comfort at all. So she went to a wise old man and asked him what to do, and he replied, "Go to a home that has no sorrow or grief, and bring back a mustard seed, and I will restore your son." Several days went by, and she returned and said, "I have been so selfish in my grief. Sorrow is common to every home." And each and every one of us face some kind of burden or some kind of sorrow. Now, it might not be the same burden as the person sat next to you or behind you, but it is a burden nonetheless. And none of us are untouched by the issue of burdens. We all have problems. We all have cares. We all have issues. We all have worries. We all have things that can weigh us down. We all have things that keep us awake at night because we worry about them. And we know when they become an issue, when we can't get them off our mind. And every waking moment, that's what you're thinking of. Before you go to bed, that's what's on your mind. The minute you wake up, that's what's on your mind. For a moment, you might kind of be distracted by doing something else, and then all of a sudden it comes back to your mind, and the burden's heavy upon you again. Every day of life here on earth brings its own assortment of burdens. Every single day may bring a different type of burden also. So how do we cope? What do we do when burdens are a natural phenomenon in this life? What do we do when we know that at some point or another we will be facing a burden? Well, first of all, we need to realize that some burdens are meant to be shared. Some burdens are meant to be shared. Verse 2 tells us that. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So what type of burdens are we to share? When somebody falters or fails or falls, that's a burden we can help bear. Verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." When somebody stumbles or falls into sin, oftentimes it's easy to point an accusing finger and say, "Oh, I can't believe them. Oh, I'm glad I didn't do that. Oh, I'm glad I didn't go that way. Oh." And that's easy to do. You know, one of the things that blew my mind, I was fascinated when the first Gulf War happened, because I think that was the first time that war was almost televised, if that makes sense. And I was fascinated by the updates. But what I couldn't comprehend was the amount of friendly fire, the amount of soldiers that died because of friendly fire. And that's the case with Christians sometimes. You know, we're the best group of people to be around, and we're the worst group of people to be around. Because we literally shoot the wounded. If somebody's struggling or is faltering, or we're supposed to encourage, we're supposed to strengthen one another, we're supposed to lift one another up. But like I said on Sunday, it's easier to tear down than it is to build up. And oftentimes we love it when somebody falls, because that makes us feel better about ourselves. Oh, well, I didn't stumble into that sin. Oh, I've got all these sins going on, but, you know, that's by the by. I didn't stumble that bad. I didn't fall that hard. I didn't fail that disastrously. But we're not meant to do that. We're not meant to shoot the wounded. We're meant to encourage one another and lift one another up. But we're told in verse 2 to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Because if we think ourselves to be something, be careful. Take heed. If you think that you've arrived, if you think you are something when you're nothing, you will simply deceive yourself. The only thing which keeps us from bearing one another's burdens in verse 2 is the fact that we think we're above our station, like Paul says in verse 3. Oh yeah, well I didn't do that. You know, it's almost as if we don't want to get our hands dirty. We don't want to be associated with them because they've almost become the black sheep of the church. You know, sometimes people think that they are God's gift to the church and to humanity and almost have an air of self-righteousness when someone falls. Listen, none of us are above that. None of us are to the point where we are untouchable when it comes to the fact that each and every one of us could fall in some kind of sin. And then the question we ask ourselves is, would we want somebody there to help us and pick us back up? A preacher was preaching on this theme of people who, you know, thought they were self-righteous, thought that they were perfect. And he asked in the church if anyone had ever heard of a perfect person. And a man in the back raised his hand. He said, "I don't know him, but I've heard so much about him." So that was my wife's first husband. It must be a good joke when Dad laughs. Because nobody's like, "Yeah, I heard that before. Yeah, you heard that before." So we're not perfect, and we're not. So when somebody stumbles, when somebody falls, as a church, we're meant to be there to encourage them, to help them, to lift them back up. If you see somebody overtaken in a fault, in a spirit of meekness, we are to then bear one another's burdens. But not only are we to bear those burdens during faults and failures, we're to bear those burdens during sorrow and grief. At any time here in the church, we have somebody under a heavy load of grief. We have somebody suffering because of the loss of a loved one. Tragedy, disappointment, sorrow, that is all a part of life. And grief, at some point or another, will affect every single household in the church. And grief has affected nearly every single household in this church. In Ruth 2:13, she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." Ruth was an outcast. She was a stranger in a foreign land, and she expected to be ostracized. She expected to be treated differently, to have to go without. But then someone came to her and treated her with comfort, with respect, and with love and with concern. And there are plenty of people within the church who need to be comforted. And sometimes we avoid the topic, we avoid the subject, somebody's lost a loved one, we really don't know what to say. And I'll be honest, I've been guilty of exactly the same thing. And then when it happens to you, you realize, and you almost become like a leper. Nobody wants to talk to you because they don't know what to say. We just need to comfort one another. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Romans tells us to weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. Sometimes we just need to say, I've got no words. But I'm praying for you. You know, we like, oh, how's it going? And then we have to lie and say, yeah, yeah, it's okay. No, it's going rubbish. Because we feel like our hearts have been torn completely in two. It feels like we're treading water and we're just literally starting to lose the ability to keep our head above the water. It doesn't mean we fix the problem, but it just means we bear one another's burdens and we comfort one another. We don't have to say the right words. We just need to be there, literally, to be a shoulder to cry on. This is one of the reasons that God allows sorrow to come into our lives. Each one of us has been touched by somebody who's comforted us. So that ought to then give us the example of what we need to do when it comes time to comfort somebody else. Because that is a way of bearing one another's burdens. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It was a pastor in Dallas, Texas, who told of a story of a lady in church who had lost a baby. And he tried and tried and tried to counsel with her, but he could not comfort the woman. Hours and hours and hours of counsel just simply didn't work. And then he remembered another lady in the church who had been through it before, and he enlisted her help. And she did more in 5 minutes for that lady than that pastor did after hours and hours and hours of counsel. Maybe a tragedy has come into our lives because God can use that for us to be a blessing to others. And I've said this before, we can sympathize with people. We can't always empathize with people. You know, maybe you've suffered a loss that nobody else here has. And the Lord will use that for you to be a comfort to somebody else, because only you know what that feels like. We just have empty words sometimes, and we can say, oh, I'm praying for you. We can say, oh, you know, I'm here if you need me. But sometimes when somebody's actually been through that tragedy themselves, they are the perfect person to help lift that person out of the pit of despair. We can lift a burden with a kind word. We can lift a burden with a note. You know, the amount of times... And I'm sure you've had it happen to you, you know, where maybe you've been feeling really down one day and suddenly somebody will send a text with a verse of scripture and they'll say, I don't know why, but the Lord placed you on my heart, and they send you a passage of scripture and you're like, how did they know? Well, they didn't, but he did. And maybe God wants to use you to be a blessing to somebody else. Just to send a text, just to say, praying for you, thinking of you. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Some burdens are meant to be shared. But then in verse 5, some burdens are meant to be shouldered. Verse 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. You might say, well, that's a contradiction, because you've just said in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. And now verse 5 is saying that every man should bear his own burden. But there are some burdens we have to shoulder ourselves. There are some burdens which no one else can help us with. A consequence of personal sin is a burden that sometimes we have to shoulder ourselves. We live in a day and time in which people want to sin and ignore the consequences. You know, the mantra of the world's philosophy today is, if it feels good, just do it. It doesn't matter who you hurt. It doesn't matter what damage you may potentially do to your body down the line. It doesn't matter. If it feels good, just do it. It's all about you. If we are going to sin, we have to realize that we one day will have to face the consequences of that sin. No sin is without its consequences. But we want to blame somebody else. Oh, it's not their fault. It's the parents' fault. It's the way they were raised. It's somebody else. It's their genes. If there's a problem with the genes, stop wearing jeans. You know, we just want to blame something else. And sometimes we've just got to be man enough to stand up and say, yeah, I brought that on myself. That was my fault. I decided to do that. I took that step. I went down that road. And some burdens just have to be shouldered alone. We are in a mess today because people don't take personal responsibility for the choices that they make. We want to blame anybody and everybody. You know, it's society's fault. Well, here's the problem. You know, society is doing all it can to get God out of every aspect of our lives. But the scripture is the only place we get moral teaching. It's the only place we get where we know how to treat one another, how we ought to treat one another, how the home ought to operate. But society comes in and says, yeah, yeah, we don't want that going on in the home, so we'll change this. We don't want that going on in school, so we'll change this. We don't want that going on in society, so we'll change this. And then what happens? Everything falls apart, and then it's like, well, it's society's fault. We don't want to take personal responsibility for the mess that we're in. We like to play the blame game. We want to pass the buck. We know what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam said, oh, the woman thou gavest me. He wasn't blaming Eve, he was blaming God. The woman thou gavest me. Remember, TH in the King James, thou, personal pronoun. He's talking to God, singular. The woman thou gavest me. It's your fault, God, because you gave me the woman and then she gave me the fruit. Oh, yeah, well, it wasn't my fault. It was the serpent's fault. Yeah, but God just gave you one command. So it was your fault. Because you didn't listen to God. Yeah, but we want somebody else to blame. We do it all the time. Joe does it all the time. Don't you, Lev? You got to admit it now because you're in church. You can't lie. But we do. You know, sometimes something will happen and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something along the lines of I told Joe not to do something, and she moved something in the house, like a rug or something. She hurt her back, and I said, see, I told you not to do it. Yeah, but it was your fault because you left the mess in the first place. So it wasn't the fact that she disobeyed a direct command to not touch that. And I can't remember exactly what it was. I think I'm about right, didn't I, Lev? That's what it was. It was cleaning the floor in the garden room because I had been working in the garden and there was muddy footprints through the garden room. Don't shake your head at me, Sarah Jenkins. There was muddy footprints through the garden room, and I said to her, don't do it, but she cleaned it and then she said, it's your fault. Because it was muddy footprints. Not because she'd cleaned and she'd done too much and hurt her back, but it was your fault. The blame game. Women are brilliant at it. They are born natural. Does everybody think that's my fault when she... Just the women. How many of the men think that was my fault? None of them. None of the men think that's my fault. Why? Because men are logical. Point proven. Neither of us want to take responsibility for it. It's my fault for making the room muddy, and it was her fault for cleaning it. No! See, the blame game. I'm willing to admit that it might be my fault, but that just proves the point. We just want to blame somebody else. And sometimes we're not willing to take that responsibility. Verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Some burdens are meant to be shouldered alone, and that's the consequence of our sin. And sometimes there's a judgment that we have to, the burden of judgment that we have to shoulder alone. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every one of us one day will stand before God at the bema seat of Christ. Every single one of us. And we'll stand alone. We won't be able to stand. We won't have this opportunity then to stand before God and say, well, actually, it wasn't my fault, Lord. It was the woman thou gavest me. We won't have that opportunity. That is a burden that we will have to shoulder alone. You know, we won't have our parents by our side. We won't have any solicitors by our side. We will have to give an account of how we lived our lives. Yes, we will be secure in the fact that we are saved. We won't be judged in accordance with our sin, but we will be rewarded in accordance to how we lived our lives as believers. We recognize the fact that our sin is already dealt with at Calvary, that we won't have to worry about that, but we will still have to give an account of how carefully or how carelessly we lived our lives as believers. And some will suffer loss. If we think we can live a haphazard Christian life and get away with it and just scrape by, do you know what? That's exactly how I got through school. Completely and utterly haphazard. I didn't do any studying. I literally read the English book for the English exam on the bus on the way to the GCSE. I just kind of flicked through the front, flicked through the back, got a general idea of the book, and kind of wrote a book. I have no idea how I passed my GCSEs. My father was mortified because Dad worked for the WJEC, so he was able to kind of... I was in France, I think, at the time when my GCSE results came out, and Dad phoned me in France and said, you rat bag. I was like, oh, I failed everything. He said, you passed everything. I don't know how. He said, you certainly didn't deserve it. Because all through school, it was haphazard. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to study. I didn't want to put the effort in. And I scraped by. But that won't be an option for us as believers. We won't be able to live a haphazard life and just scrape by because we'll give an account. And God will say, right, let's have a look. Let's go through all the times you missed church and let's have a look. And there'll be no excuses then. It'll be like, oh, yeah, but the thing is, Lord, you don't understand. I do because I'm omniscient. So let's go through this again. You know, there'll be no haphazard living our lives. Some burdens will have to be shouldered. And we'll bear the burden of that kind of judgment on our own. Our service will be judged. Our stewardship will be judged. Our motives will be judged. And then rewards will be given in accordance to how we lived our lives. Those rewards that are given to us, the crowns that we receive, are placed at the Lord's feet. So basically, whatever we do in this life that is worthy of a reward gets given back to Christ. So if we literally don't care what we have to give to the Lord, then we just live a haphazard, carefree Christian life and just breeze along, hoping not to make any waves, not to make any fuss, and just kind of scrape through. But that burden of judgment will be faced, shouldered alone. Some burdens are meant to be shared. When someone falls, when someone needs to be comforted, some burdens are meant to be shouldered. Some burdens we bear on our own, whether that's the consequence of sin or whether that's judgment because of how we've lived our lives. But then finally, some burdens are meant to be shared. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Christ is our great burden bearer. He is the example. And sometimes we cling to a burden and we refuse to let it go. And we pray about it. And, you know, we bring it before the Lord, but kind of don't want to let it go. You ever seen a little one with a comfort? Let me ask this question then. How many of you had a comfort blanket? How many of you still have a comfort blanket? You know, sometimes I don't think any of the girls... Did the girls ever have a comfort blanket? I don't think they did they? But sometimes you Freya did. You see some kids with comfort blankets and you think, that is stinking. Why are you putting that in your mouth? Oh, it's good for them. You know, they'll never get any illnesses. They've built up an immunity system. I bet they have. They must be like the Ready Break advert where they're just covered in immunity. But it's stinking. And they won't let it go. And we are like that sometimes with our burdens. It's like a comfort blanket. We won't let it go, but it's actually weighing us down. And the Lord is saying, look, cast your burdens. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Cast them. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Cast your burdens upon me. And we're like, yeah, okay, Lord, I pray about this, but we kind of let it go with one hand, but then hold on to it with the other hand. We can be deceived sometimes into thinking that God wants us to carry something by ourselves when God has said, cast it upon me. Come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What are you bearing right now that is more than you can bear? What is weighing you down right now that you think, I can't cope with this? Then you need to cast that to the Lord. Cast it upon the Lord. Whatever that burden looks like. If that burden is keeping you awake at night and you simply can't sleep, if that burden is keeping you in mind 24 hours a day, if that burden is weighing you down every single moment of every single day, cast it unto the Lord. You know, sometimes we feel like we can make it ourselves. But there are times we need to let go and give it to God. When it's more than you can bear and you don't think you can take another step, I can promise you this, you can lay it at Jesus' feet, because he's commanded us to cast it. One of these two things will happen when we cast our burden on the Lord. The Lord will lift that burden. And we've seen it. We've seen it in the church. We've seen somebody come to the church and say, look, I've got a request. I've got a health issue. And, you know, can we pray about it? And we've prayed and that health issue has gone away. We've seen that happen. You know, we've seen the church has had a financial need. And I have had no idea how the church was going to pay for that. Except I didn't. None at all. But we've prayed about it. And the Lord has lifted a burden and has provided every single penny we've needed to pay for that building. And that does happen. God can lift the burden. But when you read Psalm 55:22, it says, it doesn't say he shall sustain it. It says he shall sustain thee. He shall sustain thee. Sometimes the Lord doesn't lift the burden. Sometimes the Lord lifts you. The Apostle Paul is an example of that. He asked God to lift the burden that he was carrying. And God said, no. And God said, Paul, I'm not going to lift that burden, but I lift you. My grace is sufficient. And I will sustain thee. Sometimes we can get bitter towards the Lord because he hasn't lifted our burden. Sometimes God doesn't lift our burden, he just lifts us. You know, he's promised to never leave us and never forsake us. He's promised to carry us. He's promised us. And he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he will sustain thee. Doesn't say he'll take the burden away, and sometimes he does, but he'll sustain thee. He's the one that carries us through. He's the one that gets us through the trials. You know, I think of David going through the valley of the shadow of death. And I've preached on that psalm so many times, and I've preached on that passage of scripture so many times. And David is going through the valley of the shadow of death. What is required to make a shadow? Light. David was able to go through that valley. Why? Because he said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is with us in those valleys, in those dark times. And the reason that a shadow is able to be cast is because the light of the world is with us. The shadow of a dog can't bite. The shadow of a knife can't cut. The shadow of death can't hurt because the sting and victory have been removed because of who he is. And I don't know what everybody's facing right now. I know what some of you are facing now. But I don't know what all of you are facing right now. And maybe some of you have got burdens that you think, I just can't cope with this. Maybe some of you are facing burdens you've never shared with anybody else. But the Lord knows. As a church, there are some burdens that we have to share. And we have to help one another. You know, we are in this together. We are in this race together. We are in this fight together. We are a family at Bethany. And we're called to bear one another's burdens. If we see somebody stumble and fall, we are to help one another. We are to pick one another up. We are to encourage one another and say, keep on going. I know the race is not a race against the person, but if you can imagine a three-legged race where you have to be in step. If, you know, sometimes when we were in school and we did a three-legged race, if you were a littler one, you wanted to go with a bigger one because you could kind of just lift the leg up and they would almost help carry you. Don't be the type of Christian in a three-legged race that makes the other person fall and you're just kind of dragging them along, but be the type of person that helps them. Get them back in step. Some burdens are meant to be shared. And we've been through some burdens in the past 2 years. And it's been tough. But let's help one another. Encourage one another. Be there for one another. Some burdens are meant to be shouldered. Some burdens we're going to have to just face up to ourselves because we are the ones who've got ourselves into a mess because of some particular sin in our lives and that consequence. Sometimes lasts until the Lord calls us home. Some burdens have to be shouldered, and how we live our lives will depend upon what happens when we stand before the Lord. And on that day, we will be on our own. It'll just be Him and us. So depending on how we want that conversation to go will depend on how we live our lives here on earth. Some burdens are meant to be shared. What are we holding on to that we don't need to be holding on to? What is literally weighing us down because we are choosing to not let go of it? Cast your burden on the Lord. If the Lord doesn't lift the burden, the Lord will lift you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and He will sustain thee. So what burden needs to be cast upon the Lord today? What's weighing us down? What's stopping us running our race? What's hindering our walk with the Lord? Are we stumbling over that burden? Then give it to the Lord. Cast it upon Him. If He doesn't lift it, He'll lift you. And that's all we need because He's the one that'll give us the strength to keep going. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for this day, for this time together, and for this night, Lord. And we recognize the fact that there are many people in the church that are facing particular burdens right now, Lord. We know as we come to our prayer list in a little while, Lord, there are people who are suffering unimaginable things, Lord. People who are going through such heartache and such pain. And Father, I pray that You would help us as a church to do all that we can to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to share those burdens, to support when those burdens need to be shouldered, and just to encourage one another if those burdens need to be shared. Help us, Lord, to be the type of believer we have to be in this day and age, to be the one to encourage the person stood next to us, not to be the one to be a stumbling block because of the way we live our lives. When others look at us, that they stumble and fall over our testimony. So, Father, would You help us continue to be a church that bears one another's burdens, that fulfills that law of Christ, and that we might see Your hand do a great work here at Bethany. We just pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, if you're leaving us, for those joining us online, we'll see you on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Geraint will be speaking for us in the morning service, and then Lord willing, Kevin Rewersma will be here in the evening service. Again, it'll be online at 11 o'clock and 6 o'clock. So thank you for joining with us, and we will see you on Sunday morning. For those at the church, then if you can start dialing the Zoom, and we'll gather together for our prayer meeting. Amen. Thank you, Josh. Cheers, bro. Thank you, bro. Alright, cheers, Steve. Amen. Alright, and for those who put prayer requests in the box on Sunday, they are on the next prayer list, okay? So don't feel like, oh no, our prayers haven't gone on. So Sophie's asked for prayer, so you're on the list, and Denise asked for prayer for her brother Adrian as well, and that's on the list. We will be altering the prayer list a little bit, so it is a work in progress. So I know it's a bit small for those of you who struggle with needing reading glasses, but it will look a little bit more like the bulletin on a Wednesday. So it'll be a couple of pages with salvation, health, general. So we're in the process of doing that. Poor old Josh. I think everybody needs to come and stand up the front every now and again and just watch Josh running back and forth across that sound desk, unplugging wires, pushing buttons. Oh, before I forget, so we are hoping to have an AGM end of February, but before we do that, we need two auditors. So we need to get the church accounts audited between now and then in order for us to have an AGM. Now, normally we have one of the auditors from last time as will stay on as like the chief auditor, and then they'll have somebody come alongside them. But Alison and Clive audited the accounts last time, and they are now both deacons, so we can't have either of them audited the accounts. So what we're looking for is either for two people that have done it before who wouldn't mind doing it again, or one person who's done it before and somebody who wouldn't mind helping. So we need to get the accounts audited between now and the end of February, because we were hoping to have an AGM on the 23rd of Feb. So is there anybody that would volunteer to audit the accounts? I don't know if you can do it. Oh, just explain. It's simply going through, just looking at the accounts and looking at the, I don't know, I've never done it.